Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Benjamin Franklin was asked what kind of a country America was to become. A republic, he answered, if you can keep it. The fundamental issue raised by the impeachment inquiry into Donald J. Trump is, can we keep it?
There he is, Shifty Schiff, yesterday during the impeachment hearing. If you missed that, I don't know how you could have. But if you only watched the first hour of it, this is my concern. And welcome back into the show and happy Thursday morning. This is my concern. Americans have a very short attention span. We are a social media driven, read the headline, think I understand what happened yesterday. If you're watching CBS this morning, you think there was devastating testimony given yesterday about the president in Ukraine. But if you watch the whole thing like I did in doing show prep, where you realize that people like Jim Jordan drilled down and got to the truth of what's going on yesterday. And that's what I want you to walk away from this with. There was a whole lot more to that than the opening statement when the Republicans were finally able to ask a couple of key questions, and this might have been the biggest one of all. And that is Congressman Radcliffe, when he asked this question.
In this impeachment hearing today, where we impeach presidents for treason or bribery or other high crimes, where is the impeachable offense in that call? Are either of you here today to assert there was an impeachable offense in that call? Shout it out. Anyone?
Thank you, Congressman Radcliffe. Jim Jordan did a great job yesterday, too, pointing out the fact that Adam Schiff and company never got to the meat of what it is they're alleging here. There was no quid pro quo. There was no this for that. The funding went through. They went to President Zelensky in the Ukraine. Fox News had this article yesterday. They would and ask him, what about this? Were you feeling pressure to do something in return for that military aid? He said, I didn't even know the military aid had been delayed. So it's so obvious that there's no meat, there's no substance to what the Democrats have tried to do here. And then Jim Jordan kind of wrapped it all up by reminding everybody that all of the testimony here is second, third, fourth hand.
Let me read it one more time. Ambassador Taylor recalls that Mr. Morrison told Ambassador Taylor that I told Mr. Morrison that I conveyed this message to Mr. Yarmouk on September 1st, 2019, in connection with Vice President Pence's visit to Warsaw and a meeting with President Zelensky. We got six people having four conversations in one sentence, and you just told me this is where you got your clear understanding. Which, I mean, even though you had three opportunities with President Zelensky for him to tell you, you know what? We're going to do these investigations to get the aid. Didn't tell you three different times. Never makes an announcement. Never tweets about it. Never does a CNN interview. Ambassador, you weren't on the call, were you? The president, you didn't listen on President Trump's call and President Zelensky's call?
I did not.
No, I did not. I've never even spoken to the current president of the United States. I'm not consulted for my opinion, but in this case, I believe my opinion is more valid than the commander-in-chief who sets American policy with the Ukraine. That's what it comes down to, folks. That it's plain and simple. By the way, if you missed this earlier, and here we go to cut 17, please.
All right, you have to be somewhat cautious in reacting to what we've heard so far. We haven't heard what Devin Nunes or his lawyer, Stephen Castor, is going to ask. Having said that, I think that William Taylor was a very impressive witness and was very damaging to the president.
Ah, that was Chris Wallace right after they took their first break and came out to him on Fox News. He did revise and amend those comments, by the way, later in the day. But we're going to get him on here in about 20 minutes, and you can hear from his own mouth how he now feels about that testimony yesterday. I suspect he and I are not going to agree or see eye to eye on how that came out.
Probably a good assumption.
Well, if he thought this was damaging testimony, we're not going to agree because I still know there's still no there there. You can't impeach somebody on what you think they might have been thinking in their mind based on third-hand information from a biased, a long-time, mid-level State Department employee who has his own issues in the Ukraine. You just can't do that. So we're going to talk to him about that coming up at about 8:37 this morning. We will get the man, Chris Wallace, on here. Tom Ackerman at about 8:48. By the way, you have a chance right now.
Right now.
What caller number should we take, Carl?
Nine.
Caller number nine gets two tickets and a copy of Brian Kilmeade's new book. You get two tickets to see Brian Kilmeade Friday, November 22nd at 7 p.m. I'll be hosting it at the St. Charles County Library. If you go online at 971talk.com/events, you can still buy tickets, I believe, and get a book with that ticket. We're giving two away to caller number nine, 314-241-9797. You'll come down here to the Bomberito box office and pick up your tickets for an evening with Brian Kilmeade. We'll be right back.
I look good. I mean, really good. Hey, everyone! Come and see how good I look!
I just want to clear the record up because Dr. Randy Tobler said on the radio this morning that he heard from a friend who heard from a friend who heard Denise say that I wear a toupee and my hair is not real. So
Why would I ever say such a thing?
In case that ever gets brought up in an impeachment inquiry, I want to make sure that I clear up for the record there.
Okay.
My hair is real.
Do you want me to do the Jimmy Fallon thing where I tussle?
Yeah, no, no, that's okay. That's all right. Congrats to Richard from Peavely, who won the tickets to the Kilmeade event. Those are the last tickets we have to give away to it and a book, but we will be giving away two more copies of the book tomorrow when we have the man, Brian Kilmeade, live on the radio show tomorrow morning here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. So stay tuned for that. We'll get Brian on here tomorrow, give away a couple more books, and hope to see you out there on the 22nd. You can go again to 971talk.com/events and get your own ticket to that. So hopefully we'll see. It's going to be a good time. Did you say, Carl, that today is some sort of a Guinness Stout Day? Is that what you said?
No.
No, wrong Guinness.
Oh, wrong
Guinness. No, actually, it's not. It is the same Guinness.
Well, I mean, but you're talking about not the beer.
I have Guinness Stout on my mind.
It is Guinness World Records Day. And it was originally Guinness Beer sponsored this book because, you know, people would make bar bets and Guinness came out with the world. What is the world record? Who's got the longest hot dog? And so Guinness, the
sounds
beer,
like a personal question.
The Irish beer came up with this book that, like, the most expensive hot dog is $169, sold at Tokyo Dog in Seattle, Washington.
Okay.
So when people would make bar bets, Guinness sponsored the book that, because every bar, old school bar, has a research. Usually it's a sports book because that stops people. But now everyone has their phones.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Mark hears Guinness and it was more about the records.
When
not
I was in Ireland,
the beer.
I had a few pints, I'll have to say. And it was good.
Was it warm?
Oh, no, they don't serve it warm in Ireland.
I wasn't sure.
It's England, apparently, they serve it at room temperature.
Room temperature.
But it's actually chilled in Ireland. Everywhere I had it, it was coming out of a chilled room wherever their kegs were.
Okay.
So in England, though, I understand that sometimes they do serve it at room temperature. I expected that, but that wasn't what I got. It was a surprise.
Pleasantly surprised.
It was.
I'm going to say, is warm Guinness, as not a Guinness drinker, is...
It's the same.
Okay.
I think it would taste the same. I'm so accustomed...
We like our drinks cold here.
I'm so accustomed to cold beer that's kind of how I expect to drink it.
And Guinness Blonde is called something else over there?
Yeah, it's called Hops House 13 or something like that. They have a different name for it over there than they do here.
Hmm.
Yeah. And the thing about it is...
I need to get out more.
I'll bore you with some more Irish information here. I really expected, when I went into some of these really old pubs along the waterfront and all this stuff, that, you know, it would still be really old school. But just like here, where everybody's got their own distributor. A lot of these pubs get their beer selection from the same distributors who bring the beer every week, mm-hmm. and they've got the same looking taps. You can go into just about any bar over there, and they've got this all. They've all got the same look to them. So anyway,
they don't have the tapper handles different.
The tapper handles aren't different bar to bar. They're like the same in every bar. It's mm-hmm. almost there may and be a have, few exceptions to that.
You know how in the United States you have the bartender pour you out a shot, mm-hmm. and hopefully sometimes they'll have a heavy pour. Not over there.
Not over there.
They're calculated and extremely measured over
all
there.
All the bottles hang upside down on the wall behind it with a little stopper in it.
1 ounce.
They just run the cup up against it, and 1 ounce drops into the cup, and that's what you get. Yeah. Can't over pour.
Last thing on Guinness. What do you think the most expensive man-made object is? Denise?
The most expensive man-made object?
Of all time.
Trump Tower.
With the gold toilets.
Oh, yeah, with the gold toilet seats.
I don't know.
The, Mark, guess?
Most expensive. Man-made. Mm-hmm.
Is it some sort of, like, art?
No. Well, so, no.
Okay. That's my gut. My guess would be something art-related or statue or something.
You got me swinging.
The International Space Station, whose final cost when finally completed will be $100 billion.
Oh, good grief.
But that's worldwide.
Right, right.
It's the International Space Station.
Thank God we're still using it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keeping people up there for months.
Ride on Russian rockets to get to it. I mean, other than that.
Well, once Space Force takes over.
True. That's coming.
I know.
That's coming. So tell me, Carl, when is the next Star Wars movie coming out?
It comes December. Out like in 3-4 weeks.
I know.
Rise of Skywalker.
Do you have your ticket already?
I do not. I am hoping I am not working the day that they have the screening. All the screenings from the last three films have been in the daytime.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully I'm not working yours or Annie's show that day.
Yeah.
Or
why don't you just go ahead and ask for the day off?
Well, we don't know what it is yet.
Okay. Yeah.
I saw Frozen 2 and A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood yesterday.
Okay.
And I saw The Good Liar, which our audience would love. That opens this week. I saw that on Monday.
I'm supposed to go to Stomp tomorrow at the Fox.
Oh, yeah. That's fun. That's a great show at the Fox.
My daughter's doing something with the stages in connection with that beforehand, so mm-hmm. we're supposed to go over for that.
Cool. But
I'd rather go see Star Wars.
Well, not till December.
not till December. I'm just
they're not
going to
let you see
up.
It before everyone else.
No. I mean that, but you can probably get me in on the media preview, right?
I will ask.
Put a little pressure on him there.
I'll ask.
Mm-hmm.
I like you, Mark.
Yeah, thank you.
And you appreciate the Star Wars?
Oh, I love it. Love it. Now, I'm not as deep in the weeds on it as you are.
No one is.
Yeah, no one is.
Carl wears shoes with R2-D2 on them, right?
No. That's my daughter has the R2-D2 C-3PO shows. I have some people say, is that Jesus? No, it's Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia with Darth Vader in the background.
Oh, okay. All right. No, I saw something the other day.
How dare you get confused with that,
this,
Mark.
This tie I have right here, it's got R2-D2 on it.
Nice. It's bad, folks. I'm just telling you.
What's the jacket you have with the hood that comes up? And
that's R2-D2 as well.
R2-D2.
And I also have a Stormtrooper one, and I have a Boba Fett one. But they're Marc Jacobs, so they're nice jackets.
How much? You don't want to tell us how much you paid for them?
I do.
Were they for free?
No. Most of them are gifts. I want a C-3PO one.
Oh.
But I do not.
Is that on your Christmas list?
They used to make them. They are currently not making them.
Oh.
All right. Stand by, Carl. Here we go.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Washington, D.C.
We must be cautious.
He's talking about the impeachment inquiry yesterday. We'll talk to Chris Wallace when we come back.
Air Comfort Service.
Ambassador, you weren't on the call, were you? You didn't listen on President Trump's call and President Zelensky's call?
I did not.
You've never talked with Chief of Staff Mulvaney?
I never did.
You never met the president?
That's correct.
You had three meetings again with Zelensky and it didn't come up.
And two of those they had never heard about as far as I know.
And President
there was no reason for it.
President Zelensky never made an announcement. This is what I can't believe. And you're their star witness. You're their first witness.
Mr.
You're the
Jordan.
Guy. You're the guy based on this. Based on, I mean, I've seen church prayer chains that are easier to understand than this.
So I heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend that we got Chris Wallace from Fox News Sunday on the phone now. Chris, good morning.
Good morning to you, Mark.
Hey, you know, I heard yesterday, watched you, your reaction to these hearings a couple of times, once in the morning, right after the first break, I think it was, and then later in the afternoon. Your initial comments, you said you thought that it was very damaging to the president. How did you feel after the afternoon testimony?
Well, you know, I think you played one of the best moments that the Republicans had all day, and it's certainly true that that neither of these guys, neither Kent nor Taylor, had spoken to the president, and they were all getting it. I mean, you know, I have mixed feelings. They certainly did not speak to the president, and ultimately this is not an oversight hearing. It's an impeachment hearing, so the real question is, what did the president do? But they laid out, and particularly Taylor, I thought, a very detailed, very nonpartisan. He was just the facts. He wasn't, you know, Democrats tried to kept trying to get him to condemn the president, and he refused to do that. He simply said, I'm going to talk about what I know and what I witnessed. I think he drew a fairly compelling picture of a campaign that started well before the phone call, continued well after the phone call in July 25th, that the president did try to condition support for Ukraine, both a meeting with Zelensky and military aid, on the Ukrainians conducting investigations into Democrats and Biden. You know, it wasn't firsthand. That's certainly true. And, you know, that's an issue. But I thought the Democrats made a reasonably good response to that, which is, well, we'd like to have a firsthand, but the president keeps blocking a lot of people who did have firsthand contact with the president from talking to us, like Mick Mulvaney, like John Bolton. I think it raises the stakes for Gordon Sondland, the ambassador to the EU, because from Taylor's testimony, he did speak to the president directly several times. So when he speaks on Wednesday, we'll get a better sense. You know, I think that it was damaging to the president. I don't think it was fatal to the president by any means, because as somebody pointed out, you don't have a John Dean who was sitting there quoting. And then I said this to the president, and there's a cancer of the presidency, and the president said, well, we could raise the hush money as Nixon did to Dean. We'll see what Sondland has to say.
Yeah, I would think from what I watched on network coverage this morning, the focus is on that little nugget of new information that Ambassador Taylor mentioned at the end, that he heard from an employee after his previous testimony that he had thought he had overheard the president saying something in conversation. So now they get Sondland up there when? Next week? Is that correct?
Yeah, next Wednesday.
Yes.
But interestingly enough, and let me get to my bottom line. I'm sorry I'm taking a little time to say it. Interestingly enough, on Friday, while they're hearing from the former ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, they're going to have one of those closed-door depositions with the fellow David Holmes, the aide to Taylor, who overheard the conversation between the president and Sondland at a restaurant in Kiev the day after the July 25th phone call. So Sondland's a little bit on the spot. I mean, you know, he's obviously under oath. He's got to tell the truth. But, you know, he's going to have two people who say, well, this is what happened on that day. And I think it makes it a little hard for Sondland to deny it if it did happen. And Sondland has already, you know, changed his testimony once to say, well, I forgot a meeting that, you know, now I hear that my memory was refreshed about. And yes, it did happen. So it'll be interesting to see what Sondland says. He's going to be the one who takes us, you know, again, he's not Mulvaney, he's not Bolton, but he takes us most in to what was going on with the president, what was on the president's mind directly. And finally, you know, and this is where I think, you know, the rubber meets the road. Do I think it changed any minds? Apparently not. There wasn't a single Republican on that committee yesterday who changed their opinion of things.
Well, true. I thought John Ratcliffe had one of the most telling bites. Go to cut 19 for us, please.
So in this impeachment hearing today, where we impeach presidents for treason or bribery or other high crimes, where is the impeachable offense in that call? Are either of you here today to assert there was an impeachable offense in that call? Shout it out. Anyone?
You know, I heard Ambassador Taylor and his response to that was, you know, let me answer. I'm not here to tell you why he should be impeached. I'm just here to testify on what I believed. And I think that's where this is going to come down to, Chris, correct? I mean, the American public watched yesterday. If they watched the first 45 minutes of it and didn't watch anything else, they probably walked away with your conclusion that that was pretty damaging against the president. And if they watched some of the Republican questioning, they probably saw some holes in these stories.
I don't know that they saw holes in the stories. I think they certainly saw that these guys were getting their information from other raids. I mean, I think there are two issues here, what it comes down to. Did the president do it? And I think there's increasing evidence the president did do it. Then there's another question, which I've always thought should be the main point that Democrats, or rather Republicans, should argue. Even if he did do it, is it an impeachable offense? Is it so serious and such a breach that we should overturn an election in which 120 million Americans voted 11 and a half months before the next election, and have Congress remove a president for the first time in our history from office? It seems to me those are the two questions. Did he do it? And does it rise to the level of an impeachable defense? I think that did he do it? The Democrats have a stronger case on whether it rises to the level of being impeachable. I think the Republicans have a much stronger case.
Yeah, I saw the billboards that the Republicans had set up behind the gallery yesterday, or behind their seats. The one quote from Congressman Al Green talking about the fact that we better impeach him, he's going to get reelected. And last night, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said basically the same thing. Carl, cut 22, please.
We also need to move quite quickly because we're talking about the potential compromise of the 2020 elections. And so this is not just about something that has occurred. This is about preventing a potentially disastrous outcome from occurring next year.
Which in her opinion, would be the reelection of Donald Trump. That kind of seems to be the motivation here. Do you agree?
Well, I think for some people it certainly is. For some it doesn't. And it certainly hurts the Democratic case to make it seem like it's that. And you know, frankly, I think that the Democrats obviously come into this somewhat compromised because this isn't their first bite at the apple.
Right.
In other words, they for the first 2 years or two and a half years, they're pursuing the Russia investigation and Mueller and all of that. And then that fizzles and then they do this. So I can certainly understand where somebody could sit out there and go, gosh, they didn't get him the first time, so now they're trying to get him a second time. I think if this were the first time the Democrats had done it, it probably would have a lot more power. I just want to say one other thing to your listeners, because I'm sure some people heard, and I'm, you know, look, my view of my role, I'm not a partisan. I'm just there to the best of my ability to call balls and strikes, and I would remind those folks who sit there, because I've gotten some blowback and say, well, you know, he goes, says what I thought that he was an impressive witness and was damaging to the president. I was the first person to say when Mueller testified on July 25th, when we had the first break that day, that I thought it had been disastrous for the Democrats because Mueller, I thought, had been an extremely poor witness who didn't make the case at all. So, you know, I'm not rooting for anybody. I'm not taking a side. I'm just trying to call balls and strikes to the best of my ability. The bottom line is, unless you get, and I think even if it is confirmed that, you know, let's say Sondland says, you know, I did have the call with the president. The president did ask me about the investigations. And I did say to this guy, I think he cares more about Biden than he does about Ukraine. I don't know that that's an impeachable offense either. So I think unless there is some dramatic new piece of evidence, we know how the story is going to end, which is the president is going to remain in office, probably impeached, but remain in office. And he will run for re-election in 2020.
Chris, thanks for your analysis, and we will be watching on Sunday.
You bet. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate that. Thank you. Chris Wallace here, being as honest as he can.
Yeah.
I know he takes a lot of heat. I don't always agree with what he said. But his initial comment about that testimony yesterday, I think, was spot on. The opening statement was damaging, but then Jim Jordan and Ratcliffe and the others just pointed out that third-hand hearsay does not a case make. All right, 314-241-9797. We will switch gears. Get Tom Ackerman from KMOX in here up next. All right, welcome back. We have a budding artist in the studio right now. Can you hit the Tom Ackerman open for me over there, Carl?
The great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
Tom Ackerman, thank you for that insight.
It is Anchorman, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Yes, sir. You're
yes,
back here
sir-y.
Drawing blue notes and St. Louis Cardinals symbols on our dry erase board.
Very
nice.
There's also an IU logo there. I'm going
Nicely
to IU
done,
today.
By the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Where's the Tiger?
Some of my favorite teams. I didn't have time. We had to go on the air. But I could draw an M, a gold M.
Why are you going to IU today?
I'm going to IU. We have board meetings there tomorrow for the IU Media School. Dean's Advisory Board of the IU Media School, so that's always fun. I'm driving to Bloomington today. For some reason, I have this pull to take a different route and go through Evansville. I don't know why. I just
cut his mic.
There's something.
Could you cut his mic, please?
No.
Something about that.
That's a pretty big smile he's
chicken
got
crap
here.
We were nice to you yesterday and did not bring it up.
People reveling in the loss of my Kentucky Wildcats.
I mentioned it, but I didn't
rub it in.
That's all right.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah.
It's so early. That should be fine.
That's what happens when you look past your opponent and then they hand it to you.
That's true. Yeah. And that former Kentucky Wildcat, Walter McCarty, is the coach of Evansville. You know he wanted that so bad. And, you know, all these Evansville kids have been passed over by Kentucky and IU and all these other teams. That Evansville is kind of a split town for people who don't know. That is split IU and Kentucky fans, I would say. Pretty heavy Kentucky territory.
Yeah. So, can we move along, please?
Here's the local connection.
The McCarty thing is the only thing that made it even slightly more palatable.
Yeah, Walt used to kill us,
yes,
man. He used to kill IU. Anyway, last thing about it, local connection. The St. Louis-based Missouri Valley Conference gets a huge win.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
St. Louis-based Valley, man. I mean, that league has been trying so hard. Nobody will schedule these teams. No one will put these teams on their schedule. That's why, because it's a good league, and
this
they knock off a number one.
Only had 12 wins all of last season. There's no way they should have beaten Kentucky. This shouldn't have happened.
Nope, but they're a tough league. They get the job done, and it's not the last time. In fact, it's the 13th time the Valley's beaten a number one. Anyway, hi, everybody. How are you? The reigning Stanley Cup champions. You wanted to mention the Blues. They've called up a young man by the name of Klim Kostin. Where do you see this kid play? He's good. 2017.
He's had a good San Antonio.
He has been. In 14 games, 8 points, 3 goals, 5 assists. He's a 2017 first-round pick. 6'3", 212 pounds. He has some talent. He has some size. And I don't know how long he'll stay up, but the Blues have called him up just kind of get a look and to see what he can do for him at forward, and they continue to roll in some of these prospects. The next one to watch will be Jordan Kyrou, who's coming back from injury, and when he gets the call-up, he has some serious offensive skill. So they're trying to find ways to fill in for Vlad.
Klim, you said? What
Klim.
Is it?
Klim.
Is it K-L-I-M?
K-L-I-M.
Yes.
Okay. Kostin.
Interesting. Is he Russian? Canadian? What
yes.
is
it? Russian.
Okay. Yes, both.
No, he's Russian. He's Russian. Klim Kostin.
Klim, well, good. That's good. Yeah, how about to Schilt? That happened since you've been in the studio here with us.
Oh, yeah, the manager of the year. You know, I'm really happy about that. I mean, he's such a good human being.
Yes.
He really is. You know, and I just like the fact that he stuck with his philosophy all year. He's the reason why they're so much better defensively. They were great running the bases. He stayed with it. They won the division, and it's well-deserved. It was very close. You could have given it to any of them, Craig Counsell, Brian Snicker, Davey Martinez of the Nationals wasn't even on the list, but that's because they vote at the end of the regular season. The Nationals went on to win it all. But I'm so happy for Mike Schilt, the National League Manager of the Year. Only Tony La Russa and Whitey Herzog have done it. That's pretty good company in Cardinals history. So very exciting.
Any truth to this Astros story, you think?
Oh,
Reading the signs?
The pitcher said that they did it. Fiers, former Astros pitcher, said they did it. They put a camera out there. So the Astros haven't denied it. They're saying they're investigating it. I think it, like anything, due process, but then it's an allegation. But if it's true, I think you got to come down hard on the Astros. Mm-hmm. You got to fine them heavily, take some first-round picks away. If it's true, it's wrong. I mean,
they won a championship.
You can steal. Yeah, you can't take that away from them, but you can steal signs. That's part of the game, is trying to figure out what the other team's doing.
Is? Yeah, yeah.
You doing it electronically. Give me a break. I mean, that should not happen.
No. Couldn't agree more. No. Tom, thank you. Have a safe drive today, and stay away from Evansville.
I'm gonna stay on my route through Terre Haute, but I'm tempted.
We'll see you back here tomorrow morning. Have a great day.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.